The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Enjoy ultra-fast speeds up to 10 times faster than Sky's standard broadband.
And welcome back. Now, we've been talking a lot about Irish pride all this week, but we're not finished waving the flag. I want to speak to someone who started out with an ambition to make music and ended up making a little bit of history along the way. Amy Doherty is an Irish screen composer. She's based in LA and she's become the first woman to score an animated feature film for DreamWorks. It's a big deal. The film Spirit Untamed, it's out in Irish cinemas today. Amy's on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Oliver.
I'm delighted to hear from you, and just to let you know, because you'll be very happy to hear, it's pouring rain in Dublin and I'm just imagining you sun-drenched in beautiful California.
Oh, well, you know, I feel like half of the country deserves it, because I heard nothing but moaning about the heat last week from everyone at home.
Very good.
So,
okay.
That's what you get.
Yeah, it's true. I'm regretting it. I feel like we've all jinxed it collectively.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I want to bring you down to back home to Ballinasloe for a second, because you grew up in a very musical house, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Mam's whole family, she's from a big family. She's one of 10 and they all kind of live in and around Ballinasloe. And everyone's just really musical. All of our cousins play instruments, and kind of every party we had was centred around music, and my mam and Uncle Noel are part of running the local town band, and mam writes musicals for the local schools, and they're just very involved. Our whole family's just very involved in music in the community. And Ballinasloe in general is just a great place for music. You know, there's always something going on.
Great. And that's your mum, Martina. We give her a shout out.
Yep.
So what instrument did you play then in the house?
Piano.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
I grew up playing the piano, and my brother played the drums, and my sister played the piano as well, and also the flute, and Noel plays guitar. So we kind of play and we pick up.
My God, did you have neighbours nearby? Because,
well, God help them. We did.
It must have sounded at times like a monkey brass band crashing in a train or something.
Definitely a noisy house. Yeah, I mean, Noel had a drum kit in his bedroom, and I had a piano in my bedroom, and we would jam through the wall. So.
But I'm only messing, because the main thing here is you were all very good at music. It was a very musical home. And a piano teacher played a big part in your life.
Yeah, well, I had two piano teachers growing up. Nellie Hurley was my first piano teacher from when I was very young, three or four, I think, to about. And then she stopped teaching about 11 or when I was 11 or 12. And so I switched to Mary Power, who's just a huge influence on me. She has amazing energy and passion, and she really challenged me and pushed me to my limits, and I just absolutely loved my piano lesson every week. I just lived for it. I think that's really where I kind of got the passion and the drive. You know, she really challenged me.
And you literally started playing piano at the age of four.
I think sometime around that. I mean, we had a piano in the house, and someone was always tinkling on something, so... Yeah, sitting around playing it, and I think Mam just thought, sure, we'll try and send her to a few lessons to try to make sense of it.
Well, the growl was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, our house has always been surrounded by music. Anyone who comes into our house knows that. There's always music.
Great. Now, so performing is one thing, but you wanted to make music. So did film soundtracks inspire you from a young age?
Absolutely, yeah. I think I've always loved film in general, and... I just love the escapism of it and the adventure. And I think especially those kind of, as I call them, the golden years of Disney in the early 90s or the mid-90s with The Lion King and Pocahontas and Aladdin and all of those, which were written by Alan Menken, who is a god, and he wrote the music. And, yeah, I just loved all of those. And honestly, I had never thought, oh, I'll do that as a career. I always knew growing up that I would do something in music or somehow figure out how to pay the bills with music. Yeah. But I knew I didn't want to be a performer. But so film music kind of just made sense as kind of the one very focused passion that I had.
And it feels like a really, really difficult world to get into, because especially the era you're talking about. Mm. You have Ennio Morricone, you've got John Williams, Thomas Newman, Howard Shore, all men really, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very male-dominated industry in general. There's, you know, they do these surveys every couple of years, and they say there's 2-3% of composers working on kind of the studio-level films are women. So for whatever reason, you know, hopefully it's changing. There's a lot of work being done to change that and to kind of encourage more women to come into this field. And so hopefully it's changing. And, you know, that's why it's so lovely to be the first female to score a DreamWorks film. But
it's incredible.
Hopefully in a few years' time, it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I want to talk a little bit more about how you did it, because when it came to college, you decided, like, you wanted to get into Trinity's music mm-hmm. program in Dublin. That was obviously very competitive.
Yeah. Honest to God, I haven't a clue how I got in, but I did. Yeah, I think there were 8 of us in the class, and yeah, it was a really, really rigorous course, and I think I was out of it about 3 weeks, and I remember thinking, oh, I wish I would have listened better. but yeah, it was a fantastic course. And then I took off and I gallivanted around the world for a couple of years before going to Berkeley to study. I did a master's in film scoring in Valencia in Spain. So that's where I really kind of focused it in. In Trinity, I'd studied music was the degree, but I majored in music technology, which actually has paid off in dividends. And that's another thing that, you know, I don't think women, I think it's part of the reason, for whatever silly reason, that women aren't encouraged to work in technology as much. So
yes,
a lot of this job is quite techie. I just think it's something we need to talk about and just, you know, maybe spark some inspiration in some young girl's head somewhere.
And this kind of made you like an all-rounder, because with the music technology side of things, you could play, you could compose, and you could arrange.
Right, yeah.
Am I using the wrong terminology there? Because it's the orchestration work, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Orchestration and arrangement. Yeah, I came out and so I had studied all of that. And then when I came to LA, I kind of first started as an assistant to an orchestrator, and we were working on John Legend's world tour at the time, which was amazing. Right. So I learned kind of a lot on the job on that. And then afterwards, I was very, very fortunate to be hired as the orchestrator for all of the Star Trek series, the new ones that have come out in the last couple of years, Star Trek Discovery and then Picard, and some other shows like Fargo and The Umbrella Academy, Altered Carbon, lots of shows.
Yeah, huge things, yeah. A huge
yeah,
a budget.
Yeah, really, really incredible experience.
Yeah. What exactly would you do? I mean, what does the orchestration work involve?
It basically involves working with a lead composer. So the composer on those shows was Jeff Russo. And so he would write the music and then pass it along to me via various technologies. And it's my job to take the music and put it onto notes on a page that musicians can read and put in all the dynamics and the articulations and make sure it all makes sense and, you know, there's no dissonance that we don't want and that kind of thing. And then we would go to the recording session that over here, like Warner Brothers or Fox, they have big scoring stages, and I would conduct the orchestra and kind of record the music very quickly. We would do a whole episode in, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours.
I love how you're just so blasé. You're so blasé, so blasé about something that just sounds absolutely impossible to the rest of us. And you're over in LA doing it on massive big budget things for Netflix and so on. But when you arrived in LA, things really started happening. You had all those orchestration jobs. But today really is the big one for you, isn't it? It's the Irish release. It's been out in the US, Spirit Untamed, hasn't it? But this is a $30 million dollar movie. We should say that the original was called Spirit in 2002, was scored by Hans Zimmer. And so his, the sequel, which, you know, you're the follow on, it's you, it's Amy Doherty.
Yeah, I know. No pressure, huh? pressure's for tires. That was definitely, you know, when I got the gig, I just had to put that out of my head because, you know, trying to follow up and step into Hans Zimmer's shoes is just unthinkable.
Yeah.
But you know, the fun thing was that they actually wanted to make it a whole other story and film and kind of not reference too much the first film, so they didn't want to use any of Hans's music, so I got to write like some brand new themes and stuff, so that was nice.
So it's great. And so, like, how does it work? Do you get a script, or do you see some of the animation, and is the film finished when you're writing the music, or what point do you get into it?
It's kind of different on every film, but on this one I came in quite early because they had this song that needed to be written for the film. So obviously the song needs to be written so the actors can record it and then they can animate it. So I came in quite early. I read the script and then had a meeting with the team and kind of pitched them my ideas for the score and what it should sound like. And we just gelled from the first minute, which was crazy. And then, yeah, I went off and wrote the song. That was kind of my first task, I suppose, because it went on to become the main theme of the film, is the melody from this song called Phyllis. And the funny thing was, I actually am not a songwriter. I'd never written lyrics. And the plan was I would just write the melody, and Universal, who are the parent company of Dreamers, their film music team, had said, just you write the melody and we'll hire a lyricist to work on the lyrics. But why don't you just throw in some placeholder lyrics for now? I said, grand, like I have a good gist of what they're looking for, threw in the placeholder lyrics, and very embarrassingly recorded myself singing it. And I sound like some form of Irish chipmunk Mary Poppins. And sent it over to them thinking it was just for the director to hear, and they blasted it out to the whole of DreamWorks and Universal.
And they became the lyrics, or you're a songwriter as well.
And they became the lyrics, they decided they loved it and we kept it.
I'm going to play a clip of it here. It's called Fearless, as you say, and it's the main theme, isn't it? And in animated movies, it's the one the kids, it's very important because it's the one the kids are going to sing until the parents know every note and lyric, whether they want to or not. So you must have sweated, writing this song for months.
Well, I did and I didn't, because I sweated over the melody. I didn't overthink the lyrics because I thought they were going to be replaced. So I didn't think too much about it. But to be fair, the message behind it, they gave me that. Like, I knew all of the words in the song, like be about being brave and strong and fearless and having courage, were all things that we had discussed in the brainstorming session. And I knew from reading the script and having talked to the filmmakers that the kind of the whole message behind the film is female empowerment and, just empowering young girls to be brave and to be adventurous and that they can do anything that young boys can do and can go on these cowgirl adventures. It came together very quickly they're very inspiring people.
It's a great message. We'll just have a little listen to it here.
Be strong, be brave, let courage lead the way, stand tall, and know who you are. Wild heart, wild soul, roam free to be unknown, and know that you have everything you need. Oh, to be fearless.
Just gorgeous, Amy. There's a kind of a, it feels a little bit Irish, particularly when it gets to the harmony bit.
Oh, you think? Is that maybe I'm seeping out of me. I can't help it.
You've spent so much time with it, maybe, at this stage.
Yeah.
And for the rest of it, what was your kind of brief? Because it is a kind of a big Wild West adventure, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and that was something I was really excited about because, I really loved those big action adventure scores from animated films from when I was younger. So, yeah, definitely coming in, there's like hints of Ennio Morricone in there, spaghetti western stuff, like his Sergio Leone scores. And it was just really fun. So I guess the brief was kind of, yes, we are on the frontier and it wants to sound like the Old West, but they also wanted it to have a kind of a modern flair that would appeal to young kids these days and maybe a little bit of a pop feel. And so we brought in Robin Pecknold, who is the lead singer of the Fleet Foxes. I don't know if you know that band, but I've been a huge fan of them for years. And so he came in and sang all these vocals and we kind of popified it a little bit in places. Just joining the Old West. And then there's also some Mexican elements because it's, it's based in this frontier town that has a Mexican community. So just pairing together, some mariachi trumpet stuff with some bluegrassy fiddle and kind of like, what would this small frontier town culturally sound like that time?
I'm going to play a clip of I Am the Train, which is your tribute to Ennio Morricone, really, isn't it? In the spaghetti westerns. It's really good. It puts you right in the zone. Have a listen to this.
Oh,
on horseback into the west. That's great. Oh, I love that. It puts me right in the zone. And especially, as they say, because it's like so associated with Westerns, yet it's a girl at the heart of this, and it's all about that female empowerment message, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, that scene in particular is kind of, you know, I won't spoil the movie, but it's a big action scene that's kind of not too serious. So that was a really, really fun one to score.
Great crack. You're too modest to name drop, but what was it like to work with Jake Gyllenhaal?
that's all anyone really wants to hear.
No, not at all. No, I left it late in the day.
Yeah.
Because he sings, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and you had to.
Great. He sings Fearless toward, at the end of the film. He kind of closes out the film with a little rendition of Fearless, but you know, his character in the film, Jim, is Lucky's dad, kind of the main girl in the film, that's her dad, and he's kind of awkward and a bit clumsy, and so he tries to sing this song to her that, you know, her mother sang to her as a child. And so we had a really, really fun time doing it, because he is an amazing singer. You know, for anyone who's seen him on social media, he's on Broadway, and he's an absolutely beautiful voice, yeah. But we had to have him sing it completely out of tune, and he's supposed to sound awful.
Okay.
So I have about 50 takes of him just going to town on it, and we were crying laughing. But having said that, I mean, this whole thing was done, you know, during COVID, so he was at the studio at DreamWorks with one engineer, and I was on Zoom, and the director was on Zoom, and we ran the whole session. You know, they were directing his performance, and I was coaching the song and kind of making sure all of the music side of stuff was taken care of. But yeah, he was an absolute sweetheart. Like, he couldn't have been friendlier and just willing to jump in and honestly just make an idiot of himself, which was really deadly to see.
And you were the boss over Jake Gyllenhaal. That's how it should be. There's loads of texts. There's loads of texts wishing you well here. I'm really enjoying your interview with Amy, who works in Film Music Orchestra, two of my film soundtracks, The Mission and The Untouchables. And I have to say, the Amy Doherty, loving the interview. What a grounded lady, such a breath of fresh air and so humble. No airs and graces. A real role model. Fair play to her and wish her all the success. Nice when a nice person succeeds. Isn't that very nice? Someone says they've got goosebumps hearing that beautiful piece by Amy for the first time. Extraordinary music, such a modest person, amazing. You should nearly print these ones out and frame them and send them to your family, because that's how it works in Ireland.
That's so lovely, because all I hear from them is that I have serious notions. That's nice.
Come here. Have they seen the film's only coming out now? So are they going to pile into a cinema together to watch it, or what's going to happen in Ballinasloe?
Yeah, well, that's the plan. Hopefully, I booked a private screening for my family in the glamorous, sparkling lights of Athlone.
Yes, yeah, that's the big metropolis.
And yeah, there's about, honestly, I think at this stage there's about 40 of them. You know, all my aunts and uncles and cousins are coming from all over the country, and they're going to pack into a cinema in Athlone for the big premiere.
Brilliant.
And yeah, hopefully I'll zoom in. And yeah, I'm delighted. I mean, I think I have the most supportive family and friends on earth. Like, they're just constantly on the sidelines cheering me on, and they really keep me going. And, you know, definitely would love to be at home to go and see it with them, but yeah, I'll get there before the year is out, hopefully.
Well, you've added a lot more people to the cheering sidelines this morning. You haven't been home, obviously, since the whole thing has gone down,
no,
have you?
Right. No, not since Christmas 2019.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So homesick.
It's been a while, but you know, where my sister also is in, Rachel is in, she's doing her PhD in Sweden, so she also hasn't been home.
Yeah.
So the two of us, we'll
scattered.
Get home for Christmas, hopefully.
You'll be home like you'll be like a music Olympian on your way home.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, now, you know, there's going to be rumours all over town that I won an Olympic medal or something.
Yeah, okay.
The way it goes in Ballinasloe.
Look, it's a great success, and congratulations on everything you've achieved. And there'll
Thank
be lots
you.
More. Spirit Untamed is out in cinemas today across the country. Amy Doherty, fantastic to speak to you. Best of luck in LA. Take care.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Good morning.